Lift me, my Lord. the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's first open our Bible to the book of Genesis.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 15. Thanks, bro. Genesis chapter 14, sorry. We start from verse 12 up to 18. As you know, this weekend is our outreach service. We want to look at these verses for the outreach service. Genesis 14, from verse 12 up to 18. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother, son who dwelt in Sodom, and his good, and they departed. And there came one that had escaped, and told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, that Amorite brother of Eshcol, and the brother of Aner, and this way confederated with Abraham. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servant born in his own house 318 and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, and he and his servant by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hoban, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the good, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his good, and the woman also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet with him after he returned from the slaughter of the chim at the valley of Shavan, which is on the king on King's Dell. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High. They look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the broken heart, and to preach the deliverance to the captive, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set a liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Let us all enter to a time of prayer.
Seigneur notre Dieu, toi le grand créateur des cieux de la terre, encore une fois de plus.
Seigneur Jésus-Christ, béni, ô Dieu Tout-Puissant, ceux qui sont en cours de route et ceux qui ne sont pas avec nous, tu connais la raison. Nous te demandons que toi, tu puisses les bénir au nom puissant de ton Fils Jésus-Christ, que nous t'avons ainsi prié. Amen.
Most precious Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you once again this evening for the grace that you have granted to us to be in thy house. We know, Father, that everybody that went to school can read this Bible, Father, but the understanding only comes from above. That why we ask you that you shall give us the understanding that comes from above, the inspiration, Father, the revelation that is between the line, that you shall be able, Father, to make your words known to each of us that is present tonight. Because we didn't come here to meet one another, we come to meet with thee, Father. And we believe according to thy word that says, where two or three are gathered in thy name, you shall be in our midst, Father. And we believe that tonight you are in our midst, Father. It's not depending on how we feel, Father, but it is depending on thy word. Because you are faithful to thy word, Father, and we believe that you are accomplish what you have spoken. Father, we ask you that you shall look down inside of our heart. If somewhere there is any need, any request, Father, if there is something that is not right with thee, Father, we ask you that we put everything under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, that you shall take control of this meeting, Father, from the beginning until the end of it, Father. Those who are not able to make it, Father, We bring them all at thy hand, Father, that you shall communion with them. You shall speak to their heart, Father, the same manner that you're going to speak to our heart. We want to remember our pastor, Father, in thy hand, that you shall bless him and shall bless all the saints all around the world that is gathering like this manner, Father, that you shall espouse us all, that we shall be in the same spirit, Father, in the same place with one anchor, Father, in the same place, Father, with our all heart power before thee, that we know that before from thee we get our strength, Father. You the strength giver, that why we abandon ourselves before thee tonight, that you shall give us strength that we need, that you shall fill us all with thy Holy Spirit, Father, and you Holy Spirit shall be moved through this audience, Father, that where something will be spoken that will make a captive free, Father. We commit all at thy hand in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, amen. You maybe have a seat. We just want to look at this scripture before, especially we want to look at verse 14. We want to look at verse 14 and verse 16 of the chapter that we read, Genesis 14. It says, when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, and he armed his trained servant born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And 16, and he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his good, and the woman, and also the people. Now we see that this man, according to the scripture, they were born in Abraham's house. And when they were born in Abraham's house, they got a training. And the training they got it, they got from Abraham. And they got a training because there was a work for them to do. There was something that they must fulfill in the future. They were not born in Abraham's house just to be born, no. It was with a purpose. Because God could let them born somewhere else in Sodom. But God allowed them that they should be born in Abraham's house. And they were born there in due season. That it needs some 318 men to be born in the house of Abraham to accomplish a certain mission. And we see later on that these people, they were not there just for a joke. Because they get a training. And when they get a training, and the training come from Abraham, and their training was with a purpose. I just want to read for you a quote from the prophet to lay it as a background from the message God called man. It was preached in 1958. The prophet said, now, and so we tonight want to think of that. And remember that in the midst of all the cry, God cannot send a revival until he got man in shape to take it. Now, God can't send a revival. He must get man in a shape to take it. Because it always must be man that is a co-worker with God. That man that must do the job with God. And he cannot have a revival until he get God called man. And God train man. That is not trained up in the school of the theology of education. But a rugged man of faith that God has brought up in the school of his rugged training. Men who are not afraid to face the fire. Men who have come in the presence of God and know his power and know his omnipotence and know his healing power. Some men that is trained to know the living God. Now that God has to train men that know him, that know the power of God. And they must train by God, not by theology or anything like that. That's why we see that this man, 318, were trained in Abraham's house. And they were born in that house with a purpose. Because there will be a captive that needed to be set free. That's why also we read the scripture from Luke, where Jesus sang that to bring the year of deliverance and to make the captive free. Now, that's the purpose of them to be born in Abraham's house because they must be a co-worker with Abraham. Now, Abraham is the type of God. When we look at Abraham, the father of Isaac, and we look at the scripture, Abraham was the type of God now. Now, God needs some man inside of his hand. As the prophet tells us, that he must train them. When he trained this man, it's not just for them to say that I'm better than the other. No, with a purpose. Because this man were called with a purpose. And they were not born elsewhere. They were born in Abraham's house. Now, these are the people that must be born in the house of God. They can't be born outside of the house of God and go to do the work with Abraham. No, it will not happen. Now, God pre-planned everything before. If now we know that this could be like the army of Abraham. Because Abraham also, being a small nation, living with his people in the tent, he must also have an army. And we know that the role of the army is to defend the nation. The role of the army is to fight when the enemy comes against their nation. That's why the enemy, that's why the army, the soldier, they must go through the training. They must pass a lot of things because they are prepared for when anything comes against them, they'll be ready to fight. That's why Abraham has to train this young man in advance before even the Lord could be captured. They were already trained, the scripture tells us. They were not trained at that time. They were trained before even Lot could be captured. That they were trained with a purpose because he knew, God knew in the future that Abraham will need this young man to do a work of deliverance. And they have to do a work of redemption because the redemption is bring back what was there before. Now we see that they have to do something like that. They were born there to do the work of redemption. Because the scripture tells us in Genesis 14:6, they say they brought back all the good and they also brought again his brother Lot. Now they didn't brought a new Lot. Lot that was existing before. That is a resurrection. That is the redemption. That they brought back Lot to his original state. That is good. Everything that he had, they brought it back. They didn't buy a new things. Everything that belonging to Lot now, it must be brought back. They were doing a restoration for Abraham's nephew. They were there to do a restoration for Abraham's relatives. Now, even the people were not for Abraham. They benefited at that time because of those 318 young men. If you look at the enemy of those four kings, if you read from the beginning of the chapter, you will understand that those four kings, they have armies. They have great armies. That these young men in the Abraham house, if they could look at them, they could have a fear and say, we, who are we? How are we going to fight? But now it wasn't their responsibility to think about how they're going to fight. Because it was Abraham's responsibility to supply all the resources and everything they need to go and fight against the enemy. Now, it's the same thing for the army. If you're speaking or looking at all the nations. Now, when you go to the army, when you join the army, it's not you that will bring the resource or the material need for you to fight. It will be the nation, the government that will supply everything that you need. Now, it was Abraham to supply everything that this young man need. The training, it was Abraham that has to supply it. The uniform, it was Abraham that has to supply it. And the gun, it's Abraham that has to supply it. If you join the Irish army, they will supply everything for you. You just will go the same way that you are. And there, the government will supply everything. They will pay for your training and everything. And we want to bring it spiritually speaking. Now, this was naturally with Abraham. He has to give them all the training and everything they need. That when the time of the battle now is there, they have to go there and fight. And the reason they were there in Abraham's house, there was the soldier in Abraham's army. And the role of the soldier is to fight. They were not there to sit down and relax. Because while the enemy was raging the battle there, they must go and fight. Because their purpose of the training is to go and fight. And you and I, being in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, the army of heaven, we are brought here to fight. Not to play game. We are here in this army is to fight, not to play game. It's not to relax. It's to fight. That's the purpose of us being born in the house of the one that is greater than Abraham, is that we must go and fight. The reason we believe the message of the hour, that we must go and fight. Not to fight one another, but to fight with the enemy. That's the purpose of us. That the reason, that why God trusts us with this message, is that one day we must do a co-worker with God. The work of redemption. And God didn't call us just to sit down and accumulate the knowledge. And when something happened, when discussing with a brother, I know this quote, I want to show you not this quote. No, that is not the purpose. To have the knowledge is nothing wrong with it. But it say the letter killed, but the spirit edified. Now that's what God, the prophet, says. That the dynamic and the mechanic must go together. And they get the training, everything there by Abraham. And they must be ready now to go and fight. That the reason we accumulated all the training from Jehovah himself and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit through the message of the hour for us to know our enemy and to know how to fight. And remember that if we are soldiers, we must fight. Now, there's no someone that to be called a soldier just to come and sit down. No, every soldier must fight. Now, all of us, sister or brethren, we are the soldier in the army of the living God. And we are the soldier is to fight. Now, the purpose of a soldier is to fight, is to defend our nation. Now, the prophet, he says that we are in the battlefield. Now, it's not for a picnic. Listen what he says here in Testament, the raising of the dead boy. And he says, friend, this is not a picnic. This is a battleground. You see, we never come here to eat a cookie and so forth. We are in a battle. Amen. Now, we are in a battle. Now, when we are in the battle, we must be ready to fight. Now, we didn't come here just to eat cookies, as the prophet says. We are in a battle. And say, could you imagine the United States Army training a man to sit around and eat cookies and so forth? He gave him a uniform and his gun and train him to get out there and fight and defend the nation. That's the purpose of you and I as a Christian. If we bear this one in mind, we will understand why we are believers. Why do we come to believe the message of the hour? Why are we different from a denomination church? Just to be a different group of the people, or we get something from God? Because as we see, you will see that there was two camps. There was a denomination church, and there was Abraham there, the genuine believer. Now, we've been called in the camp of Abraham. They are living in this condition that we are living. It was with a purpose. And God sent us the message with a purpose. Because in Luke chapter 17, let's read Luke chapter 17. That's for you to understand that we are living exactly at the same time as Abraham man. We've been called for the same purpose. Because now, Luke 17, 28, likewise as it was in the day of Lot, they did eat and they drank, and they bought and they sold and they planted and they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and it destroyed them all. Even that shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, the same things that happened there, it we shall be also in our time. The same time that happened in the time of Abraham, he has his man, and also must be in our time. Because the scripture says, the things that happened that time must happen to our time too. And God revealed himself in that time. And in our time also, God must reveal himself. Now, it doesn't change at all. And we see our main point is, where we focus our thing is in 318 man that was born in Abraham's house. Those guys were like kamikazes. They were the people there that has to go and make the captive free. The purpose of them born there is to make the captive free. And there was there that with a special mission, there was the army of Abraham. And Abraham could not do anything without this man. Because this man was there that there must be a co-worker with Abraham. And God can't do anything without you and I. And God created us for that purpose, that we shall be a co-worker with God for the plan of redemption, for the plan of setting the captive free. It's not for the angel. God created you and I for that purpose. That's the reason we believe the message. That the reason the Lord Jesus Christ says now, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. When God gives you the Holy Spirit, the prophet says, it's too hard for the lost. That's what God gives you the Holy Spirit for. The Holy Spirit is given to you and I, is that we shall hurt for the lost. It's not just we shall relax, no. It was with a purpose. And you must remember that, keep in mind that we are in the battlefield. And the prophet here in deceived the church by the world, he says, many people just think that when they become a Christian, that's all they need to do. That settle it forever. If they are Christian, then everything going to come easy. Now, that's what the people think. The prophet said, people think that way. That when they become Christian, it is settled. They finish everything now. Everything becoming easy. And say, do never get in your head. For I become a Christian to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, we become Christian is to fight. And when you fight the enemy. And now, it's not just your enemy. It's the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ now, he must supply all the weapon, all the munition that we need, everything that we need, that we shall be able to go and fight. Because it's his enemy. And the scripture says, the battle is of the Lord. Now, we are is the army. We are the soldier. We are in the army of the living God. And the prophet says when he was young, he desired to be a soldier. He wanted to be in the army. The prophet said there was that desire inside of him that when he was young, he wanted to be in the army. But when he grown up, he became a big man. He said, now is the time for me to go to enroll in the army. And he went there. They refused him. The prophet said they could not take me. And later on, I joined the army. And what was the army the prophet was telling? The army of the living God. The army of heaven. And you and I, we are in the army of heaven. We are in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prophet said he could look at the people when the soldier, they put their uniform and they have their gun ready to shoot. And he liked it so much. And they say, I wanted, when I was a young boy, I wanted to become a soldier. And he went there, and he wasn't taken to be a soldier. But later on, he joined another army, because he wasn't born to fight for the things of this world. He was born to fight a good fight of the faith. That's what was the prophet born for. And you and I, the reason we are not in that army, because we belong to another army. We belong to another army. And you must remember, in this earth that we are living, in this world, it's only two powers. It's the power of God and the power of the devil. There's no three powers. It's that two powers. The power of God and the power of the devil. And there's two ways. The way of God, that narrow way, and the way that brings to destruction is the way of the devil. That's where many people found it. And we bring back to Genesis, we find that it's the same thing with Abraham. Abraham has a few people that are living with him in the tent. And the other people, there was a great nation. If compared to Abraham, you could number the army of Abraham. As the Bible tells us, there were 318. That's the army of Abraham. And the other army, you can't number them. And we know that there's a million of the demons. That we can't number them. But despite how million they are, And how great is the army of the enemy? We are more powerful than them. Because we are the army of the cup of Abraham. And that one is the Lord himself, Elohim himself. And the captain of that army, the prophet says, you know how many stars does he have? He has 5 stars. He's a general of 5 stars. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's J-E-S-U-S. That is 5 stars. That our general, that we are under the army. And they say now in every army, the prophet says, is the captain, is the intelligence of the army. He said, if you bring back to the time of the Second World War, and they say, it wasn't a Hitler, it was Rommel. That was the brain of the army. Because he was the general. That was the captain that was leading the army. If they kill the captain, then everything is done with it. But our captain, he can't be killed. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that is leading the army. He's the one that is the commander chief. He's the one that who knows everything. Where we need to go, it's the captain, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that, let's read Joshua chapter 5 to show you one thing there. When Joshua, they were marching now and to go fight, and they get somewhere and they wonder who was the other one. And you know that captain always go ahead before we get there. Because the scripture even says, my angel shall go before thee. And that angel is the Lord Jesus Christ. That you and I, we should not be fear to go outside there for outreach. Because the angel of the Lord will go before us. As always he promised, and he must do it. And we are just a soldier. The captain will go before us. And we are in the army of the living God. He must supply everything that we need. And you will see that he already supplied everything that you and I needed. Now, in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, he says, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship. And he said unto him, What said my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereof thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, before even they could get there to Jericho, the captain was already there. Now, the captain was already there, and he make everything ready that the wall of Jericho should fall. That he was there to make sure that everybody was safe. And before you and I could go to the street there, the captain is already there. He's making sure that everything is ready there. That when we get there, everything is according to the plan. That we have nothing to worry about it. When Joshua gets there, when he meet him, Joshua worshiped him because it was a sign of encouragement. He said that now there's nothing to fear. There he is, the captain before us. He come here because the battle is his battle. He come here before us, before even we could get there, because the battle is of the Lord. And the scripture says that the battle is of the Lord. And they quieted the Hebrew children at a certain time when they want to cry. And he told them, do not cry. Be quiet and see the salvation of the Lord. Because this battle is not our battle. And the training that we get, the equipment, all the arm of God that we have, it come from heaven, it's not from earth. And there's no intelligence here on the earth that you can compare which one is of heaven. But you must remember that we are in the battle. And the prophet said, do never ever get in your head. For I become a Christian to fight and fight the good fight of faith. I become a Christian to get in the battle line. We are Christian soldiers, and we got to be trained and brought up and know all the techniques of the enemy. And we get to be trained. And the way we be trained is by the scriptures. And the way we are trained, it's by the Holy Spirit. And it trains us to everything that we need and go to fight for the enemy, against the enemy. Go to fight against the enemy. We get the training from God himself. And he equips us with everything. He gives us the training, our experience that we've gone through our Christian life. Things that happen to our life before even we become Christian, it's a training that we're getting. All these things that happen to our life, and some of the things that you will not understand why it's happening, because God is training his soldiers. That's the way he trained them. He doesn't train them through theology. He doesn't train them through the way of education. He has his own way that he trains his people. Amen. God has his own way that he must train you and must train me to make us ready for the battle. Now we must be ready for the battle. Now he must train us and give us everything. And the prophet said now, once you get your training, what comes next? You get your gun, which is the word of God. All the experience that you have. And God will give you the gun, which is the word of God. And give you the uniform. The uniform is the Holy Spirit. Now, in the army, every soldier must have the same uniform. They must dress the same. And the army of the living God also, all the soldiers that must go to the battlefield, they must be in a uniform. Because the uniform, it's a sign of identification. It must identify you. If you are a United States Army, you can't dress the same way like a Congolese army. No. You must dress different from the enemy. When you're going to fight today in Eastern country, you can't dress like the same. No. You must dress different. They must identify you. And all the soldiers of another army, or let's say Ireland army, if they go to fight against Zimbabwe, they can't dress the same because there will be a confusion. The Irish soldier, the army, they must dress their uniform different from the one that the enemy has. And that the spirit that must be open to you, that must be open to me, it must be different from the spirit of the enemy. Because otherwise, you will not overcome the enemy. Because the evil can't overcome the evil. The good that can overcome the evil. Now we must be now dressed with the spirit of God. The prophet said the Holy Spirit is our uniform. And the prophet said, could you imagine? And he give the trend. And he said, the uniform is the Holy Spirit. And he said, that was his dream, is to get to the army and put on the uniform. And they say, when he put that uniform, he was very happy. Because we know, I say, but my uniform is not outside. My uniform is inside. The Holy Spirit inside of the heart. Listen what he say in the life story. And the prophet says now, it was during that time at the First World War, and everything that became enough and to put uniform on, and had a uniform. And I wanted to be a soldier so bad that I got old enough then to be in the army. They will not take me. So, after all, I got to join an army and put a uniform. And you might not see, it is not on the outside, it is on the inside. That means a Christian rank, God given the Holy Ghost. That is the uniform. Now, every soldier in the army must have a uniform. Every soldier in the army must have the uniform. If you don't have a uniform yet, you are not in the position to go fight. Because otherwise there will be a confusion. We must identify you. When we identify you, we know that this is in our camp. He has the uniform. Now, otherwise, we can shoot gun on you without knowing what side are you. Now, we see that this young man in Abraham's house, they were born there. And they were trained with a purpose to do the work of redemption. To do the work of restoration. That they have to bring back Lot. And they have to bring back everything that he has. And the scripture says in Joel that everything that the locust has eaten, God says, I will restore. Now, God promised to restore. Now, they have to restore. There must be a way that God can restore it. And the only way that God can restore it, when he finds man inside of his hand. Because remember, when God has to come himself to do the work of redemption, the prophet tells us that that great Jehovah, that great Elohim, that spirit that exists in himself, he could not come in that form. It was too big that God has to condescend to himself and to take a human body and to come and do the work of redemption. And God never changed now. If it has to do the redemption, God always do it through man. To save someone outside a lost life, God will not send the angel. He always send you and I. But we must be able to be yielded in the hand of God and get the training and get our uniform and get our gun ready to go and shoot. Because Christ say himself, let's read Luke chapter 4. And Christ, he says in verse 18, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That the purpose of the Spirit of the Lord was upon Christ is to preach the gospel to the poor. And the same Spirit that is upon you and I, because we are in the army, is to preach the gospel to the poor. It's to preach the gospel to the people. Not just ourselves, we shall be happy that I'm a Christian. No, the purpose of the Spirit of God inside of Jesus is to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. And that with the same purpose you and I were born for. When God gave us the uniform, which is the Holy Spirit, that we shall preach the gospel to the poor. That we shall preach the gospel to the poor. And he had sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's the purpose of you, Holy Spirit, inside of you. That you could heal the brokenhearted. That is something inside of you. When you make someone that is deceived, someone that is tired, is disappointed with the things of this world, that is wounded inside of his life by the experience of this world, you can bring something. You can bring joy to that broken heart. You can do something. That's the purpose of God investing inside of you. That's the purpose of God giving you the training. Now, to preach the deliverance to the captive. Now, we see the something that happened to Abraham's army. They went there to make the captive free and to preach the deliverance to the captive. And you and I, if the Spirit of God is in us, we will do the same thing. We will preach the deliverance to the captive. We will tell the people, the addicted people outside there, that you don't need to be in this condition. This is the time for you, for Jubilee, for you. This is a Jubilee time for you. You need to be free from this condition. Because someone already paid the price. You don't need to stay in this condition. There's a year of deliverance for you. If you can accept it today, you will be free. No matter how addicted you are of nicotine, anything that you are addicted to, this is a year of Jubilee for you. That's the purpose of you and I getting the training. That's the purpose of you and I given a gun by God himself. The word of God and the uniform that we shall do something and to make the captive free. That's the purpose of it. And they say to preach the deliverance to the captive and the recovering of sight to the blind. It's not amazing grace that I was blind and died there in the world. But because of that grace, my eyes was open. Because of the love of Jesus Christ. And tell someone, you don't need to die in that condition. There's something that God has prepared for you and I. And what he did, he sent his begotten son, that so whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. That you shall be free from the condition that you are in. That's the purpose of this young man, that they shall make a lot free from the captivity condition. That those conditions was knife Imagine that to be captive in the hand of someone. And you become a slave of that person. If you bring back the story of Hebrew children, when they were in Egypt, captive there, they were crying and groaning. They said, when are we going to come out of this condition? And when Moses met with God, God tell him, Moses, I have heard the crying of my people. I come down now to send thee and go deliver my people. Something was happening there. That the work of redemption, that the work of now making the captive free, that God needs someone in his hand. If God could get someone in his hand, he can shake the whole nation. Because it was just one man, Moses, that shook the whole Egypt. That everybody knows now that these people, they get a deliverer. They get a someone that will make them free from this condition. That the kingdom of Pharaoh was shaken because of one man, Moses. He took all the Hebrews captive for years and years. 400 years they've been in captive. But just one man that was himself in the burning bush experience, that had something from God. He gets his uniform there and he gets the gun from there. The word of God. And when he went to Pharaoh, he said, make my people free. These are the people of God. Make them free. Pharaoh has nothing to do because the man was commissioned by God himself. And you and I, we are commissioned by God himself under Joshua commission to do the work of redemption. That the purpose of us being Christian, not just to be happy that I'm a Christian, no, with a purpose. Everything that God do, he do with a purpose. God doesn't do things that to show off that I have a Christian, no. God does it that you shall be a co-worker with God. That you shall do something for the kingdom of God. That you must realize the purpose of you being a Christian. The purpose of you joining the army of the living God. Why did you join the army? When you join the army, it's to fight. It's to be in the battle line. That when you join the army, it's to fight. And this fight is a good fight. Now, it's the fight of the faith. This fight is a good fight. That when you join this army, you must be ready to fight. Not just to sit down and relax. No, you must fight. And you can fight everywhere. The enemy is everywhere. And while the enemy is alive, you can't relax. If you relax, the enemy will shoot upon you. We can't relax because the enemy is alive. The enemy is not yet just bound. If it's bound, then we can relax. But as long as our enemy is alive, we must make sure that we got our gun and our uniform on and to fight against the enemy. Amen. That's the purpose of us joining the army, friend. We must understand the principle and we must understand why someone is a soldier. A soldier is to defend his nation. A soldier is to protect his nation and to fight to make his captive free. Even you find when the Frenchman went to Mali, they want what? They want to defend, to take revenge of the people that is making their people captive. They capture the French people. They say, we must make them free. You see, that's why the soldier, they take a risk and to go to the enemy territories. And if those earthly, human-made soldiers can take the risk and go there fight, what about the soldier, the army of the living God? Because before we get even there, God is already himself there. The captain of the army is himself there, preparing everything for us. That you must know that there's a price to pay when you become a soldier. A soldier is not any kind of life. When you become a Christian, you must know that there's a price that must be paid. And the training they go on, it's a hard training. But we saw that it's a hard training because a soldier must accept, must surrender his own will and accept the will of his captain. Because the captain is the one who has the vision. It's the captain is the one who knows everything. The plan is in the hand of the captain. But we must accept to surrender our will and accept the will of God. Now, because our wills, man, our will many times and our desire is contrary to the will of God. We desire this. We desire that. We want to put effort to our own things. But God didn't create us for that purpose. If you are a Christian that you become a prison, like Paul, a prison of Christ. When you become a prison of Christ, you have no right at your own. The right that you have is the right of your master. And those soldiers there, once they join the army, I think the first things that the master tell them, that once you join the army now, you have no right of your own. You can't tell what to do. We tell you what to do. And us in the army of the living God, it's God that tell us what to do. And this young man that was born in the house of Abraham now, imagine, in that day, maybe one of them could say that, I'm not feeling well. Abraham says, there's nobody tell I'm not feeling well. My nephew is there, captured by the enemy. We must go and deliver them. And he has to go and divide them. He said, we must make sure that him is made free and everything that he got is restored. That our purpose there, we are going in a special mission now. Do not have to look at the enemy. How great the enemy there. Maybe there are 5,000. We are 380 men. But we go and capture and take back. And we must take Lot back. Lot is not born there. Lot is Abraham's relative. How many of our relatives are there outside, captured by the enemy? How many people that were predestinated to be the children of God that have been captured there? But the things of this world, but the love of this world, they have no way out and they need the young man that was born in Abraham's house to make the Lord free. And you and I, we are those young men that was born in the house of God, the greater than Abraham, that was trained by Elohim himself, that we get a training from heaven, that God trained us in his own school, not the school of man, that we shall be able to do the work of redemption, that we shall be able to make the captive free, that the purpose of you joining a Christian army, the purpose of you becoming a Christian, because there is a work for you to go. Now, this work that you are fighting in is different from the work that the army of this world is fighting. The army of this world, they fight for what? To get money, to get oil, to get gold, to get all the mine. That's what they fight for. Because they fight for something. But the good fight, the prophet says, they fight for principles. You don't fight for money. We don't go to the street to ask people for money, no. We don't go to the street because I have an office in church, no. I go to the street because God commissioned me to do the work of redemption with him. That's the reason I go there. The prophet said, you don't join the church because there's a popular ladies that go there. Because the mayor of the city is going there for popularity, no. You fight for the principle. And Abraham, when he went to fight, he didn't want to take anything from this guy. He said, no, I'm not taking anything from him, except all that the young man has eaten. He said, the good fight, the prophet said. He said, we fight for principle. He said, we don't not fight for anything else. We fight for principle. And the prophet said, now, we'll constantly push. Satan will constantly patch at you until you are finished here on earth. Just remember that you will never have a time, but what day is a patching going on all the time? Because you are in the battle. Now, you are in the battle. The devil will not let you relax. But why we want to let the devil relax? If the enemy can't let you in peace, you should kill the enemy before he kill you. We shall make sure that we attack the enemy before he attack us. Because his purpose and everything that the enemy, that is his mind, is to attack you and to attack me. Then us, we should not give him a chance for him to rest. Imagine, even wake up in the morning, even in the afternoon, in the evening, even the time now going to church, the enemy will attack you. That's why you will see a lot of empty chairs. Why? The enemy is overcoming. The enemy is attacking. You see, he's not resting at all. He will not even take 5 minutes for rest. If the enemy doesn't rest, why we should rest then? We should not rest. We should be all the time for the business of our Father. We should be there hurting souls in every time. In our workplace, in our college, wherever where we find ourselves, we should be in the business of hurting for souls. That's the purpose of us joining the army of the living God. That's why God called us for that. God called us that we shall be really, the really soldier that will fight. So the prophet says, so finally, I got to join the army, a uniform, and I might not show it outside, but I got it in the inside. That's right. I joined the rank of Christianity. In there, I have a uniform called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I am in a greatest battle, doing everything that I might not be able. I can feel it. I know it is there. And that the main thing is to fight the good fight. The main thing is to fight the good fight. Now we are called Christian that we must fight the good fight. Otherwise, God didn't call us just to sit down and relax. And the prophet said, the really true battles are not made with selfish motives. That's why Abraham says, I'm not getting anything from you. I'm not fighting here to see what I can get from you. No. And they say, really true battles are not made with selfish motives. War are not fought for money. War are fought for principles. Men fight war for principles. And we fight this war of Christian war for principles. Even God doesn't give us anything, but we will still fight the war. Even God doesn't answer my prayer in the time I want him to answer, I will still fight. Because we fight for the principle, not for a self-motive. And we do everything that we do for God is not for another motive. We fight for the principle. That is the good fight that we must fight. Now, if we fight, now waiting that we'll get the reward quick, maybe we will see 1,000 of the people coming tomorrow to church. Hey, you may be tired and not fighting again. But we must fight for the principle. We must fight not, if I go there, maybe I will get glory. I will see the people will see me that, this one is there. No, you don't fight for self-motive. You don't fight because of the glory. You want all the glory and everything to be bring back to Jesus. You want him to get the glory. You want him, his name to be magnified. You want him to be the one that is worthy of all the good things. Then we fight there. Now, we must say now, to bring back his fallen brother, whether he gets a dime or his offering, or whether he doesn't, it won't make a bit of a difference. Speaking of Abraham, if even he didn't get anything, but the principle, the motive, the motivation behind Abraham fighting is that to make his nephew free. Now, the motive of you and I fighting is that we shall make the captive free. That's the objective of us going to the street there. That we shall make the captive free. Not that someone should patch us at the back. If we are doing it because of that, that is not the principle of fighting. It's not what we can get from people. No. We go to fight because we want to make the captive free. That's the objective of our fight. That's why Abraham fight. He didn't fight because he wanted to get something from those kings. He fought that battle because he wants to make his brethren free. And we want to make our brethren people that we know that before the foundation of the world, those who were in the book of life of the Lamb, that we want to make sure that these people come to our camp. That's the reason we're going to fight there. Not that someone will patch us at the back. Now, when you fight because of the principle, no matter even the critics, you will not hear them. No matter what the people say about you, no matter what the people do about you, you will still be there fighting. Because you know that I'm fighting for the principle. That's why we see that these young men, they were raised there because there was a purpose for them. and the purpose of those Abraham, 318 young men, were there what? To make the captive free. And you and I, we see that in our time, God has given us a message. The same way he gave the message to Abraham, that come out of your kindred, and I will make you a blessing to thy people. And God has made us the same way. God has called us out of Babylon, the same way he called Abraham out of Babylon. Remember, because Abraham, they were in Babylon, in Babel, that confusion place. And God called him out from that place because God has a purpose that he wants to achieve in the life of Abraham. And God called you and I out of confusion, of that great Babylon day that you are living in. That God has something that he must achieve inside of our life. And God called you with a purpose, and he called me with a purpose. And we must always remember and keep that one in mind, that we become Christian is to fight, not to relax, friend. Because many times we relax, we take things for light. But we are not called Christian to relax. We are soldiers. A soldier can't relax. A soldier is there to fight. We must make sure that we got our uniform ready and we got our gun and go fight. As this Friday we're going fighting, we should not worry about how the fight will happen. Because the scripture says the battle is of the Lord. We will need to put ourselves in the condition that we are ready to go to the battle. We must make sure that our uniform is there and our gun is there, and we must go and fight the enemy. Let's all stand now and put all things to prayer. And we must know that it's something that you should remind yourself always, that why am I a Christian? Because we are a Christian is to fight the good fight. We are a Christian to fight the good fight of faith. And God calls us in his army that we must fight, because the role of the soldier is to defend his nation. And there's a lot of people there, outside there. They are taken by the devil. They are taken by drinking. They are taken by prostitution. They are taken by a lot of things in this world. That they need someone to make them free. They need someone to do the work of redemption. They need someone to come there that was well trained with his gun and the uniform, and to come and make the captive free. Because these young men were in a special mission. And when they went there, they didn't play game there. They didn't play any game. They were not taken by the enemy, because they were well trained and they have all the resources that they needed. When they get there, they did what they have to do. They make Lot free, and all Sodom, they made it free. And they finished with those four kings. And it was a special mission that you and I are on tonight. Let's sing a song. Then we'll all answer a time of prayer. And pray for the outreach for this Friday, that the angel of the Lord shall go before us. That always we must remember ourselves, that the reason we are Christian is that we should fight. And do not forget that we are in the battleground. We must fight always. The enemy is not yet dead, and we must be ready to shoot our gun. Let's sing a song, then we enter to a time of prayer.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching arms to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master lives against the foe. Forward into battle, his banners go. Hallelujah.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching us to war.
Oh,
with the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army,
who's the Church of God. Church of God.
Brother, we are treading where the saints have trod.
are not
divided.
Oh, one body we, one in hoop and doctrine, one in
charity.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching us through war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Thousand troops may perish, kingdoms rise and wane. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching us to war.
With the church of Jesus going on before.
Onward, the great people.
As your voices in the triumph song, glory, Lord, and honor, and to Christ the King, this through countless ages, men and angels,
in your sea. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching us to war.
With the cross of Jesus going on before.
Oh, onward, Christian soldiers, marching to war.
With the cross of Jesus going on before.
Let's sing one more before we enter the time of prayer.
I'm pressing on a good day.
You are a in every
day,
praying out,
as I'm overbound,
Lord, Lord Almighty,
Lord, higher ground, Lord, Lord, lift me up, and let me stand
by faith
on earth.
Yeah.
Sing the chorus today. I will ask Brother Wilma to close with a word of prayer. Feel good.
Hallelujah.
He's an answering God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, He's an answering God.
When
I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith He answers again. Hallelujah, He's an answering God.
Oh,
hallelujah, He's an answering God.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, He's an answering God.
Oh,
when I pray in Jesus' name, in my faith, the answer came. Hallelujah,
He's an answering God.
Let us pray once more. Heavenly Father, we come at the end of this service just to thank you, Lord,
yes, Lord,
that you are a merciful God, and that, Father, you sustain us from day to day, Lord. Mm. Father,
hallelujah,
as the weeks go by and the days go by, we feel it, Lord, that, Father, there is a calling somewhere.
Yes, Lord.
And we are longing to go to that place, Lord. Father, as we prepare ourselves for that day, Lord, Father, we do not want to leave our brethren behind.
Yes, Lord.
And we just feel it in our hearts to go once more to speak to thy people.
Yes, Lord.
But, Father, we know that if a builder builds in a house without you, he builds in vain, Lord. So we're asking that you be merciful. Lord, and that you would go before us, even as you went before Eleazar, Lord,
yes, Lord,
and prepare the damsel. Lord God, we just pray that as we would go, you'd send thy angel before us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
May you put that burden in our hearts, the burden of Abraham, who would not let his brother's son perish with the heathen, but
yes,
Father,
Lord,
he was burdened enough to go and rescue his brother.
Yes,
please, Lord,
Lord,
be merciful to us, Lord,
yes, Lord,
and help us, Father, to take up, Lord, this cross.
Mm.
Go and speak to thy people. Lord,
yes,
God, it is all in your hands.
Mm.
It is you that would give us utterance. It is,
yes,
you,
Lord,
that would give us strength.
Mm.
We just commit it all into your hands, that, Father, whatever we will do,
mm,
let it be for the glory of thy name,
yes,
Lord. I pray for every brother and sister that's come out tonight, Lord, and ask that you would bless them.
Please,
renew their strength, Lord. And
mm,
Father, may you continue to be our fortress,
mm,
our high tower of strength, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
May you watch over us, Lord, tomorrow as we would go about the business of this world. But Father, help us to continually, Lord, meditate upon thy word, Lord. I pray for our brethren that could not come this night.
Yes, Lord.
And I just ask, Lord, for a restoration.
Please, Lord.
That, Father, you would stir them in their hearts, Lord, not to forsake the assembling together of the saints.
Yes, Lord.
For it is thy commandment to do these things as we see the day of our redemption approaching.
Yes, Lord.
So help us, Father, and
please,
help them, Lord God, that, Father, and reveal thy word to them, Lord, and make these things real to them, Lord. Please, Father, may you watch over them, watch over us, Lord. Help us as we would go home, and keep us and protect us as we commit everything now into thine hands, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. There is no service on Friday as we're going out to reach. We meet here on Saturday for the communion service by God's grace.
Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see.
And you are on this job. Your grace abounds.
Fire, Lord, that once burned bright and dim. Replace the lamp of my first love and burns with holy fire. I want to take your word and shine it all around, but help me, child.